And a very pleasant good Sunday evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live. We're broadcasting from the auditorium of Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas. For an undetermined length of years, we've been hosting this program on Sunday night. And your host, since the inception of such program, has been the one and the only, my friend Mark Meek. Good evening, sir.
Hello, Jim. Man, I tell you what can we say? We don't even know how long we've been around.
Well, it hadn't been totally continuous. We've had some ons and offs through the years. And
so we had some. Yeah. Probably my wife knows. She keeps things.
Probably does. Women tend to do that, you know. But
well,
I know
some of them do. Yeah, she's one.
Yeah, I know that 31 years ago I was sitting in the chair opposite you helping you with this program.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
And you were already well into it by that point.
So we're somewhere past 20. I know that.
Yeah, probably are.
So here we be. We're still
doing this thing we do.
Yeah.
And it's amazing the Lord still gives us something every week. We've yet to sit and just stare at each other and go, what do you want to say, Mark? I don't know. What do you want to say?
There's been a time or two when I kind of wondered about that.
Yeah.
Not between me and you, but there was a time when I was doing what you're doing and trying to do the program.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was very hard to find words to get things going. But, you know, through the years, Jim, there's only been about two programs or three where I just really struggle to
keep conversation
going.
Moving. Yeah. Yeah.
And so no reflection on anybody. I just didn't hit the right button with some people.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And we went down a road and it kind of
dead ended. I produce the radio program for Gary on the radio station that we have, and where he interviews artists, and and we've had a couple of those notable interviews where we found out a long time ago it's real hard to interview a young person because they like to say, yep. That's right. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Don't have a lot of stories to tell.
The other thing about them, they don't have a lot of stories to tell.
Yeah, they don't. They don't. And so he's had some of those, you kind of got to pump them to make them talk people as well. So, yeah, I understand that. And the difference is that we're live on the radio and he pre-records it.
Yeah, he can stop. And
we can leave it on the edit room floor.
We through the years, there's been a few times when I wanted to stop, and I couldn't.
Yeah, because we were live on the radio.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And Jim, you know, one of the guests that we've had on through the years, two or three times, and they were great guests.
Yeah.
Was Jack Taylor.
Okay.
And Jack passed away this past week.
Okay.
So, but he's pretty old.
Well, Mark, neither one of us are young chickens.
He was a lot older than we are. So he had a blessed life.
Yes, indeed.
And so I was thinking about that today, and I thought, you know, we did some. The last interview I did with him, he had written a book, and we interviewed him on that. On that subject, and he was a great interview. I really enjoyed that. So our hearts go out to the family, and we're you know, is a loss of a great friend.
Absolutely, yes.
So,
and he wasn't great because he'd been on your program. So,
well, that it was just an honor for me to have him
indeed.
On the program. Yeah. Because, you know, Jack was a prolific author and he fathered a lot of young men and helped them ministers and he had lots of stories. I'll say that for him. A Baptist minister that somewhere back there, very well known, very well respected. And he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he still was very widely respected and known by the Baptist, and that opened a lot of doors for a lot of people in the Baptist church to receive the Holy Spirit. So, yeah. Good guy.
Absolutely.
Actually raised at Allison, Texas. And his dad and my granddad were best friends.
Okay.
So that tells you he was up in his 90s. That kind of tells you where that age difference was in me and him.
Yeah.
And he was also started preaching. One of the places the very first sermon that he ever preached was at Gatesby Church, where I grew up. And that was before I came along, but my parents and grandparents always talked about Jack Taylor because he became well known, and they kind of felt like they got him started.
Yeah.
I'm sure they didn't have much to do with that either.
But that was nice to know anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So little Wheeler roots and Wheeler County roots, and he's probably preached. Well, I know he did a citywide crusade here in Wheeler. Probably preached right here in this church that we're setting in.
Probably in this very building, yeah.
In this very building.
This was First Baptist Church back then, yeah.
Yeah. So, say goodbye to...
Nope, we'll say see you later.
That's what I was going to say.
We could say
goodbye, but we're going to say see you later.
Because he's a fellow brother and a saint in the Lord, and we'll see him again soon.
Yeah. So. Well, we're here together tonight, Jim, and
because we often do this apart from you.
You look like you're about to fly off.
Well, I was hearing some noise, and I determined it was my microphone and not yours.
Oh, good. But I'm gonna talk about the heart a little bit tonight because got that started. And
yes, we did.
I want to get it finished before I forgot and got on down the road, and then go, oh well.
We didn't finish that.
They didn't finish that. Yeah. Now I'm going to have to go back and relay that if I'm going to ever finish it. So I want to kind of finish that tonight and really not finish it, but kind of throw a little stuff out there for people to chew on a little bit maybe. Because actually I had a dream this week and I'd been listening to some teaching during the night, and early in the morning I had a dream, and these really wasn't related material in the teaching and the dream, but anyway, I had a dream, and I've got to run it by my pastor, but it was a little different and gave me a little revelation about some of the things we're talking about. But I just want to kind of throw out some scriptures tonight and throw out an idea and let people chew on it a little bit and let the Holy Spirit, if they'll ask the Holy Spirit, he'll reveal this to them and maybe they will see that there's something more to to this thing of the heart than what we've thought. And last week we talked about spirit, soul, and body, and I explained where I thought the heart, or week before last, excuse me, Marlon Sparks was on with us last week. What a great guest.
It certainly was. What a wonderful man, and what a legacy he's got in his ministry there.
Yeah, and you know, I talked to him Monday.
Mm-hmm.
He was umpiring 5 baseball games that day, and he had a bunch more the rest of the week because it's playoff time.
It is,
and he's actually calling baseball games in Oklahoma, and it's in their high school league thing. So I was just so thrilled to have him on with us.
Well, I was, and you know, from my side of the desk here, I'm glad for a guy that is elocutionary, speaks well. You ask a question, he'll take off and answer it. And, you know, like we were talking earlier, you don't ever have to pump him for an answer. You know, he's got one. And
hey, you know what? It makes my job easy.
It does. You know, all you got to do is kind of lead him the right direction, let him go. But it was a wonderful conversation with the man.
So. And you know, the other thing, Jim, I get to listen.
That's right.
I'm talking a little bit, but main thing, I'm getting to listen and find out a lot about Marlon. And so I've kind of got some more ideas. And since we've got the phone hooked up now,
we've got our new equipment here.
We're able to do this without somebody driving all the wheeler.
That's correct. Yeah. That really broadens our pool of people to introduce our audience to.
Yes. Yeah. And so we're gonna work on that in the coming weeks, and but in the, anyway, week before last, I was talking about spirit, soul, and body, and we talked about the heart and the brain and where they came into all this a little bit, and so now tonight I want to talk about the heart, and the heart, I believe, is where your spirit and your soul intersect, and there's like an overlay, and it may be a huge overlay, or you might be an overlay like where you put two circles together and there's a sort of a crescent looking overlay that you could color and make a picture out of it and oversimplify it. You know, there's no way to explain this other than the Word of God. And that's what the scripture declares over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit and bones and marrow. And so only the word of God divides those out. And so in the secular world, they acknowledge there's something on the inside, but they don't quite know what that is. They know there's an intellect, and that's something that they can't really put their finger on how people think and how they do. And so they've said we're like a computer, but we're much more complicated than a computer. It can't do all the things that we do.
It does what we tell it to do.
It does what we tell it to do. And I wish all the parts of me did what I told them to do.
Yeah, it wouldn't be nice, you know.
Yeah, but they don't. And so that's kind of the breakdown is that we really don't know all these things, and so we've got to look for clues in the Word of God, because it says only the Word of God can do that, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so maybe my example is a little oversimplified. Maybe it's not totally right. I don't know. You know, I never did like for a preacher to get up and say he didn't know for sure. But if you don't know for sure, you might as well say you don't know for sure. But if you get an idea and the Lord begins to show you things, then you think you're on the right path. And I think I'm on the right path with this. So I want to talk about the heart. And Proverbs 23:7, it's a very interesting scripture. And it's talking about eating.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, we all know how to do that, or we wouldn't still be here. It starts out 23rd verse of Proverbs, verse 1, says, "When thou settest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat. If thou be a man given to appetite, Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. In other words, he's using a meal to make you feel good and feel like you're connected with him, and you better look out, because what he's doing is deceitful. And then it goes on and says, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. It says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Man, that is the truth.
Yes, riches will just take off and fly.
They will get away from you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, you start paying your bills at the end of the month, and
you got month left over at the end of the money.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it says in verse 6, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So you've got to be careful with the evil man, because he's going to portray something that he's not. He's going to portray himself as being good when on the inside he's really bad. But you got to remember, as he thinketh, or another word for that word thinketh is believeth in his heart, so is he. So your heart, what I'm sort of getting out of all this is that your heart and what's on the outside, how you appear on the outside, can be two different things. The Bible talks about having a deceitful heart. And, we're going to see several things here tonight that will let you know that you can have an outward appearance that is good, and you can have an inward thing that is not good. So I think that's what it's saying here. Be careful about the evil man, because he'll look one way and be another. And so what I kind of get out of this is that, and I'm going to show some other scriptures here, but the seat of belief is in your heart. And listen, we all live out of a belief system. What I believe in my heart is who I am. Okay, so I believe your heart is the residence of what you believe. And it is so important what we believe, and that what we believe lines up with what God believes, what he thinks, what his thinking is, what he has a belief system. And so we need to get our belief system lined up with God's belief system. And that's through the word of God. That's how it comes, is this word is God's will. It's the very depth of who God is and how he thinks. And so we have this inside, we have this seat of belief. We have this area that you live out of. And I want to look at a few scriptures here that will kind of speak to this. If you kind of look, put them all together, I think you'll get a pretty good picture of this. And the first one is in Mark 11:23. It says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. So shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Believe where? Believe in your heart. So it's talking about It's talking about this belief system that you have built. And so if I have a belief system of believing God built on the inside of me, that's what I'm going to get a hold of instead of doubting in my heart. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. Where at? In your heart, in your belief system. Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You know, there's an old saying, and I'll get to this a little more in a minute, but trash in, trash out. If you have unbelief in your heart, what's going to come out of your innermost being is trash. If you have doubt in there, what comes out is not going to be what God intends to come out. He wants you to be tied up with him. Now, look at Luke 24:25. And I'm looking these up as I go because I'm not good enough otherwise to quote them. But Luke 24:25 says, "O fools and slow of heart to believe." Slow of heart to believe. So your heart has to do with this belief system and what you believe. We don't want to be slow of heart to believe. But I'm really not addressing that as much as I'm addressing that it's your belief system. That's what the heart is all about. Now look at Romans 10:9. Very familiar scripture. And it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what we're seeing here is the importance of the heart. Now, I'm going to bring the mouth into this in just a little bit. But we've got to believe. That's the first thing that happens in the whole process of faith in God, is that you've got to believe God. You've got to believe the truth. So if we look at Acts 8:30, we'll start about 35. And this is a story of the eunuch. And I hit the wrong thing here. So I'm working on this. And this is about Philip. And there's a story about Philip, and he went down to the wilderness and he saw this chariot, and it had this man who he found out was a eunuch and a very important man. And he saw this guy sitting there reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join yourself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him. I love that old English. Ran thither to him.
Oh, I say he ran thither. Yes.
And heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Started explaining who Jesus was and what had gone on and how the scriptures pertained. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And they went down into the water, and he was baptized. Because, not because the water saved him, but because of what had happened in his heart.
The water was the outward expression of that inward change in his heart, yes.
Yes, and if you'll notice, Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart," and his answer was, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So if you go back to Romans 10:10, it said, "With the mouth confession is made into righteousness," "with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation." And so you see a classic example of that verse right here. So let's look at a few other things here. I think those are enough scriptures that show you where the belief, center of belief is.
Okay, so can I muddy your water a little bit?
I'll muddy it if you want.
Well, you started the program reminding us about the concentric overlapping circles.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about believing with the heart, and that the heart is the center of our beliefs. What role does the mind play in that? Because in the body section of us, that is the gateway, is our brain, our mind, our thoughts, processes.
Yeah.
So tell me how the overlapping circle encompasses the heart with the body.
Well, Jim, it's very obvious that we contact even the Word of God with our eyes.
Yeah, we use our natural senses. That's
with
correct.
Our ears.
Yes.
And so that is taken into our mind. And our mind processes that. And out of that, I believe that hope is born.
Yes.
And so
because the scripture tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yeah.
So hope has to be born in order for faith to be developed.
That's right. And so that's what happens with your mind. It's processing that.
It's the gateway between our natural senses and our heart.
That's right.
Okay. And it works both directions.
That's right.
When we read the word and we hear the word taught, then our natural senses are bringing the word of God into our heart through our mind. And then the other way is when, well, as the old cowboy says, what's in your bucket is what comes out when it gets kicked. What comes out of the heart through the mind into the flesh is what's in the heart. So.
That's right. So, and there's another aspect of this too, and you know, the Bible says that we're a spirit being, and it says that we're born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. The corruptible, our flesh becomes, or our spirit becomes incorruptible.
Because we are born in this natural world,
seed.
But in the natural world, we're born of corruptible seed.
That's right.
We're a spirit being born of corruption.
That's right. So here's the flow of life comes through our spirit, man, because God contacts us in our spirit, and so the flow of God, the flow of the Spirit, is from our spirit to our soul, which is our mind, our will, our motion, our conscience, all those things. That flow is flowing out to our outward being. Our mind, then our outward being has been affected. That's the normal flow after we're born again. Now, here's the problem. The Bible says that Adam was a living soul. But the second Adam, talking about Jesus, is a life-giving spirit. And so we're still kind of locked in until we can get the flow of the spirit moving. We're kind of still locked into being a soulish person. We have so relied on our mind, our mental things, that a lot of times that has a tendency to block off the flow of the spirit. And so that's how we open up our spirit, I mean our soul, to let the spirit flow, is by taking the word of God and re-educating our mind to where we accept what the word says before we accept what our five senses tell us. So it's a little complicated, but it's a real deal. And like I say, you know, don't take my word for it. Just take this as a jumping board for jumping off. And so then, getting back to the heart, I just wanna read some scriptures here. That the first one's in Matthew 12. I may have already read this, but I don't think I have. Matthew 12:35. I was looking for it a while ago. I'm going to back up. I'm going to start verse 33. It says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Have you ever got a hold of fruit that wasn't good off of a tree?
Oh, my, yes. Yeah, sure have.
Well, the tree is known by its fruit. So if you have a peach tree that has bitter peaches, you're gonna say, hey, that's that bitter peach tree over there.
Yep, that's exactly how it's gonna work.
So yeah, it's gonna be identified by that. And then it says, oh, generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart. Now, this scripture is really a cool scripture because it opens up the idea that the most important part of this whole thing is your belief system and what's in your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It says, then a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So out of the heart, once again, good and bad. Good man, good treasure, good things come out. Now, if you go back and start looking at some of those scriptures we looked at, and it talks about believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. And so what's got some people confused about that is they're trying to do that without taking into consideration their heart. If you're going to stand on Mark 11:22, 23, and 24, where it says, say to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass. The key to that whole scripture is what's in your heart. It's not, number one, what's coming out of your mouth. It's what's coming, what's already in your heart. And then as you speak what's in your heart, then you can say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. But from the abundance of the heart, from the a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. So the first thing that I've got to be concerned about is getting my heart in the right condition. I've got to have a good treasure, not a bad one.
Because you can't speak and put those good things into your heart. Your heart can only overflow, and you speak what's in it.
That's right.
You can't work it backwards. It has to come out of the heart.
Backwards. That's,
it has to come out of the heart to the mouth. You can't just give it mental assent and say the magic words in the magic order or whatever and have what you say, because it's got to be in the heart first.
That's right. Now, Jim, I think there is, going back just a little bit to what we said just a minute ago about your mind, I believe that you can educate your mind to the Word of God through speaking the Word.
Absolutely. There's no voice that resonates in my head any louder than my own.
That's right. And that's key, because you've got to start believing in your heart, though. You can get your mind renewed. You can get it going in the right direction, but you still got to get it in your heart.
And the gateway backwards into that heart is still from your mouth through your mind.
If you really want things to come to pass that you say, then you've got to have it in your heart.
That's right. First.
Yeah. So the believing, that we've been watching Healing University here, which is
for 53 weeks.
I was going to say, it's been a long time. That's one thing that I've thought about a lot. You know, I'm getting my mind to where I can accept the things that the Holy Spirit is bringing up in me. It, you know, if he started saying to me, you're healed in your body. I'm using that as an example because we're talking about Healing University. So if I started thinking, well, I'm healed in my body, if it started coming up out of the inside of me, I wouldn't know what voice that was that's saying that. Because there's all kinds of voices speaking all the time. And so my mind would go tilt because it wouldn't be educated in the Word of God to recognize what's coming up. And so it would go, the chances of me saying that would be small. The chances of me disbelieving that would be large, because my mind is not in a place where it can accept what is being said.
Because it's not yet in the heart.
Yeah. That's right. And here's the deal. That's why a lot of people read the Bible and don't believe what it says, because they can't accept what they're not sure of. And I've read the Bible and I've read things in there, and I think, is that really saying what it means, what it says? Is it saying what it says? Does it mean what it says? Or is this something else? And that's the way a lot of people's approach is, I'm not sure that I can depend on God for that. I'm not sure that healing is part of what God has done on the cross through Jesus. I'm not sure that's there. I'm not sure, even if it is, what difference does it make for me? Because we don't have that understanding in the heart and the flow of that into the mind. So, you know, this is here. It's not complicated. Just get yourself in the Word and believe the Word. That's all it is. That's all there is to it. And so people have made it real complicated.
Well, it's a man thing, you know. It's a human thing. It's got to be more complicated than that.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah. It just can't be that simple.
Yeah. So your Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So if your treasure is in the Word of God, if your treasure's in the Holy Spirit, if your treasure's in the life of Christ, if your treasure's headed in that direction, the mind of Christ, that's where your heart's going to be. That's what it's going to be full of. And you're going to be believing that, and you're going to, and you know what? The flow is going to start flowing through you in that direction. And you're going to begin to hear, God's voice. There's all kinds of voices inside, but you'll begin to recognize God. I like that song we sang this morning. I can't even tell you the name of it, but it said, I love his voice. And that little phrase has hit me. Is that what it says?
Yeah, it does. It's one of my very favorite songs, too.
Yeah. It says, I love his voice.
Yeah.
And the first time I heard that, Jim, I thought, I do love his voice. Right. I love that. And I love it when I understand it. I don't always understand God's voice. I don't always hear his voice because I've got other things on my mind. I've got my focus in another direction. But the Bible says his sheep know his voice. So if I'll pay attention, I will know his voice. And, I'll just give this little example. One time I was, I had a calf get out, and he was on the wrong side of the fence from his mama. And he wasn't a very big calf. He was just a few days old. And so, I was driving him down the fence. And I was probably, a foot, 18 inches maybe away from the fence. I was wanting to make sure I didn't get in the fence with my pickup. And, the little calf turned around and he started coming back between me and the fence. I might have been 2 foot out. And so here was a thought. Open your door and stop him from coming by. And almost instantly, I heard the voice of God. And he said, don't do that. And almost instantaneously, I opened that door. And did you know that calf ran into that door and just knocked the whole side of the pickup off? I mean, dented it, big, the little baby calf dents the pickup. But see, I was more in tune with what that calf was doing, and the thought that I'd had with being such a good thought of opening the door and stopping that calf from coming by, that I failed to catch what God was saying. I was more in tune with what I was thinking.
Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path.
Now, I know that nobody else has ever done
done something silly like that.
But, yes. You know, there's been quite a few times through the years when I've done that. Just, I hear God's voice say, give me guidance. And almost before, almost instantaneously, I do something wrong. I do the other. And I know I'm not the only one probably that's like that. But on the other hand, too, there's been times when I've heard very clearly. And it's worked, you know. So I love that song. I love his voice.
I think we've all been in those situations. I was getting ready to leave to go somewhere to work for one of my clients about 3 weeks ago. And as I'm pulling out of the driveway, I have this thought just immediately come to me. And it said, get your pneumatic jack. And I've got a little, 24-inch floor jack that I use. And I thought, I have not carried that pneumatic jack in 5 years. What in the world would I need that for? And I just pulled out of the driveway and left. And I mean, that day, something come up. And I thought, man, if I'd brought that pneumatic jack, I could have fixed this.
There you go. See?
But I know good and well, I was down the road and I thought, was that the Lord telling me to grab? Why would he tell me to grab something so silly I've never thought of needing for the last 5 years? And that day, I needed that pneumatic jack. Didn't have it. But I was very clearly had that impression. Pulling out of the driveway, grab your pneumatic jack. That's silly. And just kept driving, So
I've always admired this story. that I'm going to tell.
Okay.
But I had a friend, and he was a hay baler. He baled hay all over the country. And he was way up, had all of his equipment way up on the Canadian River, north of Skelly Town, way up in there. And it was a long drive from Canadian down there where that was. And not only was it, it wasn't just part of it was on highway, but most of it was just cow trails. And so he tore the header off of his swather, and so he just went home. He didn't have the stuff to fix that he knew, and so he just went home. And so I think that was on a weekend, and so Monday morning he got ready to go back up there, and all of a sudden he had the thought, I need some bolts. And the thought came to him what they were and exactly how long they were. And they were big bolts and the exact thing that he had to have. And thankfully he wasn't as dumb as I was. He goes down and stopped at the parts store and picked those bolts up. There's like four of them. And so he got up there to that swather and he got to looking and there was four bolts broken. And those were exactly the bolts that he needed. And I've admired that story and that guy's ability to not only hear God, but to obey.
Yeah, that's the key. I think we hear him a lot. We just think more of ourselves than we ought to.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, I've done this for 40 years. I know what I'm doing. I don't need that. And
yeah. And
just pass it off as a passing thought.
Yeah.
And, of course, hindsight being 20/20, we go, oh, not only did I need that, I know God told me to get that, and I just flatly ignored him.
Yeah.
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 Happens often. We're so human in that way.
So this guy had another thing happen to him. And the reason I'm going to tell this story is it's very interesting in how it happened. But he lost his billfold. He'd get up every morning, and he had a job where he had to take a horse with him. And he'd get up like at 4 o'clock every morning and go out in the dark, catch his horse, and load it in the trailer. Well, he realized he didn't have his billfold with him. And so he started looking for that billfold and he couldn't find it. And he looked and looked and looked. And so he asked the Lord to help him find that billfold. And a couple of nights after he asked the Lord, he had a dream. And he dreamed in the dream that billfold was out in a pasture in an old cow trail. And he saw it and it had been rained on and it was weather cracked. It was just lost and weathered and, you know, it was done for. And he woke up from that dream and he said, no, I don't receive that. I don't believe that. He said, God, I know that I ask you to help me, and I'm just believing that I'm going to find that billfold, and I do not believe that dream's from you. And so a couple of nights later, or a couple of mornings later, he goes out in the dark, and he's catching his horse out there in the pasture. He'd walk out in the pasture, and he's walking along and stumbled over his billfold. So you know, Jim, those stories are cool because they express a relationship of heart with God, and the potential of this is just crazy. But I love his voice. That song just it really reverberates. How do you say that? Anyway.
Reverberates with you.
Reverberates. Yes. Listen to this scripture, Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Pure in heart. For they shall see God. And so, you know, I'm just like Jesus on the inside. But where I connect with my spirit man and my soulish man, the heart area, I can get off a little bit in my heart. And when I do, it kind of causes things not to work quite so smoothly in my life. And so it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Or you know, here's the way I see that. I see if I'm going to see God, I'm going to see him face to face. I'm going to be in his presence. And so I think that's what that's talking about there. And then Matthew 15, Matthew 15, 18 and 19. Y'all excuse me for just a minute. I made a mistake. Here we go. And this kind of says the same thing as what it said earlier in Matthew. It says, and Jesus said, are you yet without understanding? Do not you understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly is cast out into the draught? So he's talking to some Jewish guys here, and they believed that there were certain things that you could eat that would defile you. If you ate a snake or a pig or some of those kind of things, certain birds, things that ate other animals, that you would be defiled. And Jesus goes, don't you understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So it's not what they were eating that was their custom that they were so careful about. I mean, they were extremely careful about what they ate.
Yes, that was one of the many laws that they were very picky
yes.
about.
Yes, so. And remember when Peter saw the sheet full of unclean animals?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And the Lord told him, rise and eat. And, man, that blew his mind.
Yeah, because he said, no, I can't, God. Those are unclean.
But he was right here.
That's right.
Listen to what Jesus had to say. And this was at least 2 years probably later that he saw that sheep with all those animals. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed, and this is the evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil men things. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. They are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
It's a good thing. I might have been defiled a long time ago. So,
so out of the heart these things come. So Here's the thing that I got to thinking about in this. And I thought, you know, out of my heart comes either good or comes evil. And he said that both of them can't come out of the same man.
That's right.
And I'm going to show you something interesting here in a minute, but out of the heart determines whether we're going to have evil thoughts, we're going to be a murderer, we're going to be an adulterer, we're going to commit fornication, we're going to commit thefts, false witness, and blasphemies out of the heart. It's not just your flesh out here on the outside that's doing all these things and being evil. These things are actually coming from deep inside of us, out of the heart. And then Mark chapter 10 and verse 5 talks about hardness of heart, having a hard heart. And he was talking to them about, they came to him and they said, teacher, what about a divorce? And he knew they were just messing with him.
They're baiting him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he says, well, what does Moses say? And they said, well, that you could get a divorce. And he said, because he had to do it because of your hardened hearts, your hard hearts. So you can have a hardened heart, something that's not pliable, something that's not. And then Mark chapter 7, verse 21 says kind of basically the same thing as Matthew 15, 18, and 19. And it talks about evil hearts. And I was thinking about the hardness of heart and evil thoughts coming out of the heart. I think those are very closely connected. But it's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. Man, I tell you what, we can go on and on and on and on about the heart.
Well, there's a whole lot of scripture there about the heart.
Yeah, a lot of scriptures.
It all ties together. Yes.
You know that, and you know, I know in my own experience that this is exactly the way it works. That all these things are formed in my heart. And Jim, I've noticed through the years when I'm really close to God, not that I'm not sometimes, but my focus isn't really on Him. It's easy to be stingy and just kind of have bad thoughts about other people and
be snippy.
Yeah, not love them like
not
I
loving.
Like
yes, yeah. That's right.
You know, it's yeah. easy. But it's starting down here in my heart. It's not something on the outside that I'm taking in. It's something that's on the inside that I'm letting out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of things that we see in our society today it's all a heart problem. It pretty well explains it all in the scriptures. And so we just need to recognize that, hey, this is a heart thing, and the only thing that's going to change a man's heart is what that eunuch did.
Mm-hmm. Open the Word of God.
Yep. And then Philip said, what can I do to be baptized? And he said, well, you got to believe with all your heart.
Heart.
And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of mm-hmm. God. Case in point.
Absolutely.
Well, we're out of time.
Once again.
16 seconds on my clock, probably a little longer than that, but we're just going to say good night to everybody and God bless. Thanks, Jim, for a good evening, and we'll be back next week.
All right, Mark. Thanks.